Right. Welcome, everyone. This is the Verifiable Credentials API work item call. This is Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. Not the third, like the agenda said. Thank you, Alan, for catching that. Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we have a review of the VC API presentation that John Henderson has put together for the Open Wallet Foundation. We've got an issue called Why Do We Believe It's a Good Idea to Return an Issued Credential to an Internal Caller? It's issue 48. And then we have an AuthZ discussion that I'm hoping we can close after more than a year of work on trying to answer the question on whether or not exchange endpoints need AuthZ or not. And then, of course, other issues as time permits. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else we should discuss today? Okay, and then looking through the list of people that are here, it's the usual suspects, so we all know each other. So I'm going to skip introductions. Any relevant community updates? The only thing I think that might be worth mentioning, I think we mentioned last week, which is there's probably going to be a multi-formats working group, mini working group at the IETF. And there's a mailing list for that. Check the minutes from last week for where to sign up for that mailing list. The other heads up is that I think the Verifiable Credentials working group that's working on 2.0 is going to start getting fairly aggressive with, I won't say cutting features, but making sure people are assigned to features. And if people aren't assigned to the features, people should have the expectation that those features are not going to get done, they're not going to make progress, and they're not going to go into candidate rec, which means that by midsummer, we will see a bunch of hopeful features that we had for 2.0 get cut. So if you care about specific features in the Verifiable Credential 2.0 data model, and there's an issue raised for that feature and there's no one assigned for it, either assign yourself or say bye-bye to that feature once, you know, we get halfway through the summer. So, you know, the chairs are going to give everyone a good heads up, multi-month heads up on that, but that's coming. I think that's it for relevant community updates. Anyone have anything else before we jump into the VC API presentation that John has put together? Okay. Well, with that, John volunteered a number of weeks ago to put together a presentation deck for the VC API presentation to the Open Wallet Foundation. I will put the link to that deck in the minutes here. And thanks to John for putting that together. And over to you, John. Please take us through the deck you have right now, please.
Okay, will do. Thank you, everyone, in advance for giving me the opportunity to share this work. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Okay. That was easy. That worked. Okay, great. So maybe a bit of a preamble on the Open Wallet Foundation. I've said this before, but in case anyone's missed it or needs a refresher. So the Open Wallet Foundation is an organization that is implementing wallet components. They're now working on specifications, and they have a technical architecture committee that is looking for project proposals. And myself at EnergyWeb, we believe that there's opportunity for a VC API implementation of some sort, or at least that it's worth considering. So this is step one in that process, it is to educate the Open Wallet Foundation, or at least share knowledge on VC API. So with that, I will get into the presentation. Right. So what I'm thinking of doing here is to deliver the presentation not exactly as I would to the Open Wallet Foundation, but kind of talking about what I will say to the Open, what I'm thinking of saying to the Open Wallet Foundation, what I propose to say. And if there's, I would suggest if there's any feedback, yeah, please chime in at any point and I can note that down and we can make changes. I've also been workshopping the idea, and I think it's been mentioned before that having other people at the presentation from the VC API community there would be very valuable. So if there's any sections in the presentation that people think they could, you know, deliver well or could add to, or if there's additional sections that people would like to deliver, I'm certainly open to that as well. So please chime in with those suggestions. But with that, let me get into the agenda here. So the topics are a bit of intro and motivation for this presentation, some background on the VC API, discussing the design, the use cases, the design objectives, the roles, architecture, authorization, basically all the sections from the start of the spec that we're all familiar with. And then talking about the endpoints themselves, and I'm going to intersperse discussion of the endpoints with a little demo using the EnergyWeb implementation. And at the end, there's a bit about the test suites. So a bit about myself. In particular for this kind of work, I'm wearing a software architect hat at EnergyWeb, and I have been focusing on the SSI stack for a couple of years now at EnergyWeb. And EnergyWeb, along with ALEA Group, which is a transmission system operator in Belgium and Germany, we've implemented VC API. And like I mentioned previously, this presentation, the objective is to get VC API into the sphere of attention of the Open Wallet Foundation community, and well, I guess it's in particular the technical architecture folks. And this is because EnergyWeb is interested in contributing some portion of VC API where it makes sense for Open Wallet Foundation. And I believe that VC API is important for the Open Wallet Foundation because it is a shared interface for VC lifecycle management. We'll talk about what that means, but I would say at a high level, it's interacting and modifying VCs within a role domain and between role domains. We'll get into that. But before we talk about the architecture and roles, a bit of background. So well, we talked about the VC lifecycle a bit, and as we all know on this call, it's a CCG work item. It's at version 0.3. The timeline, I would be interested if anyone has any feedback on this. I joined the VC API community after it started, which I believe was in 2020. And I pulled this standards track target date of 2024 from the verifiable data standards roadmap. Yeah, go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's undetermined. I think we're in a state where we're like, it's going to be done when it's done, right? So whenever we as a group decide like, hey, we like, you know, where it is right now and we feel like it's ready to go standards track, we can do that. In 2024 seems like sure. Yeah, it could probably be ready to go standards track by then. But it's largely, you know, up to this group. I think one of the things we might want to highlight is throw this statement out there and see if people disagree or agree. We don't feel that there's a rush to get this thing done and standardized. We want to take our time and do it right. And we don't see us taking our time and doing it right as slowing this thing down, you know, in the market, right? So there are already production deployments of VC API, in production use cases. Those implementations don't seem to be bothered by, the rate at which we're going right now. So if I had to summarize, I'd suggest that, but I don't know if people, you know, disagree with that. So if you object to kind of like that framing, please speak up. Would love to hear other thoughts on the matter.
Seems reasonable. So
I'm generally behind that, other than the idea that once something escapes into the wild and gets a lot of uptake, it can become solidified and hard to change. And these things that we say we want to do right might be really hard for us to change. And we might end up with two different protocols, out there, with the one that ends up getting standardized that might not be what is in use in some production systems. And that can be an area of conflict.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda and Dave. I'll add a bit of that perspective to the slide as well. And moving along, briefly, I'm going to touch on the use cases. This is just to say that the several areas of user needs that have been compiled by folks on this call, and that there's some vocal use cases, and for example, the multi-stage presentation one is notable in my view, and even EnergyWeb and Ilya's use case is kind of in the energy space, so this VC API is useful even beyond maybe what's shown here. We continue along here to the design objectives.
Just to go back to the last slide, is the traceability stuff on there? That's a pretty important one as well. I imagine it is, but I couldn't find it scanning quickly. Yeah, I'm not seeing like supply chain on there, and that might be missing. Just a note, Eric, thoughts on that? Oh, Patrick, you're on the queue. Go ahead. And if you're talking, Patrick, we can't hear you. Still no audio, Patrick. Just a note, John, we might want to mention the supply chain use cases here as well, if possible. Go ahead, Patrick.
To do a little browser swap.
There we are. We can hear you.
Yeah, Chrome to the rescue. when you say you don't see supply chain on there, isn't supply chain sort of implied in some of these use cases? Like, for example, online pharmacy, wouldn't there be some implied supply chain in there?
There's an implied one, but I think if you look at the use cases document, I don't think it has to do with supply chain. The reason I bring it up is because we have like a whole other work group like us that's just focused on traceability, right? The traceability work item, and they utilize the VC API. And I was just mentioning, it feels like a problem domain unto itself. They work with like U.S. Customs and Border Protection and imports of, you know, trillions of dollars of product into the United States. And I guess we don't have that problem domain listed here. So just a, you know, note sure. To like Eric that maybe we want to add that here. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That's a good point.
Plus one to that, man. Do the traceability guys have their own use case document floating around somewhere?
I don't know. I don't think they do. I think their use cases might be in their vocabulary document. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. It's a short answer.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Again, yeah. Thanks for that feedback. And this next slide on the design objectives is from the specs. So talking about the four objectives of modularity, simplicity, composability, and extensibility. And I've pulled these icons and they'll show up in the rest of the presentation. Just move a bit quicker as time is flying by. So looking at the rules, I think this slide is very important in my view from a understanding of VC API because it talks about the roles that are familiar to many in the SSI ecosystem of issuer, verifier, and holder. But this rule split, I think, is an innovative concept that VC API provides. So I'll discuss that. And I think the key point that I understand is that the services are an emergent architectural feature that has been noticed. And so separating the business logic from the verifiable credential services has resulted in this role split. And then this other bit here is talking about how the holder, there's some language about how the holder could be seen as a wallet. The wallet is maybe an overloaded term, but as the presentation is for the Open Wallet Foundation, perhaps the older components are of particular interest to them.
We've got a queue, John. And don't worry about, like, if this takes the whole call, it takes the whole call. I think we're all here to provide feedback to you. So don't worry about having to rush through it. Patrick, I don't know if that's an old queue or not.
Yeah, that's probably an old queue.
Okay, go ahead, Ted.
Just a quick one. Subject should probably be like a shadow icon because while it's integral to the internals of a VC, it is not a part of VC API. That's it.
Yeah, plus one to that.
Yep.
The other thought I have here is that it might confuse people to have the little person icon for issuer service and issuer coordinator. Those are really kind of, at least I think of them as like subsystems or systems that are operating on behalf of the issuer. So using a little person icon for the issuer, I think makes sense. And then using I don't know, Joe, help me, like a computer or a something for issuer service or issuer coordinator might be better, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, my other note here would be to maybe make it symmetric radially rather than left to right so that the coordinators are close to each other and the services are on the outside. But yeah, some other icon for both a coordinator and service I think would be useful. But probably different one. Well, I don't know if they need to be different ones, but certainly different from a human.
Thanks, Joe. Dave, you're up.
Yeah, I agree with those comments generally. I was thinking more of these that we kind of have a conflation here of roles and components. But there's also some strength to somehow doing a better job of communicating that the individual components like these services might be provided by a third party. And I know if you just break them out as components, people could perhaps figure that out on their own. But having this concept or being able to see that this API enables different people to work together to build different pieces that they can contribute to an issuer is helpful.
Go ahead, Patrick.
No, probably on the same wave of changing the icons. Maybe I would change the icon of the subject because it might not always be a person.
Yep, all good points. Who thought we'd have so many opinions on iconography? back over to you, John.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks again for the feedback. That's, there's some improvements here for sure. I pulled that diagram from the use cases document, and there is this other diagram figure that uses, the figure, but that splits into boxes rather than people. So maybe that addresses one of the concerns that it's confusing to have people. But, I think if we move along to the next slide, it does have more of that, this other diagram that has the radial perspective from the VCAPI spec. So this, I want to spend quite a bit of time on this slide, well, at least in the actual presentation, because I think it's key. It shows the separation between service and coordinator that was discussed on the previous slide, and also introduces some other interesting components such as the admin and storage services. There's a couple notes in the or text in the specification say about the issuer service, saying that it should have access to keys, or that the verifier service checks the authenticity and the timestamps of the credential, but the business logic is left to the verifier coordinator. I suppose, yeah, generally that's a line of separation, as I see it, between the services and the coordinators, is that the coordinators have the business logic and integrate with other backends as well. And then a point I wanted to make in this slide as well is that I see there potentially being use of the modularity design principle in this architecture, where you could use VCAPI to send VCs, I've said between domains here, communication between the coordinators, but you can also use VCAPI to operate on VCs, some of that lifecycle management aspect within a single rule or single domain or system. Please, Manu.
I love how you have, I love the diagram. So the fact that you've circled the domains, and it's like there's a clear separation. The second I saw this the second I saw this slide, I was like, yes, that is exactly how we should, convey that. So thank you, for doing that. The one, and now to nitpick on it, right? So like the between domains, the check verifiable credential state, that blue line should probably wrap around check verifiable credential state, I think, because that is between domains as well. And of course it's going to be difficult to do that. But I thought that this is great because it really demonstrates what we've been trying to convey, which is some of these APIs you use within a domain and some of them you use between domains. So plus one to that. Dave, you're on the queue, and then Joe.
Yeah. Something that may or may not come up during the OWF presentation is there might be people that are there that are familiar with OID for VC and OID for VP. And they may be asking questions around what are the differences between the VC API and that one, or, you know, how do they relate? And this diagram might be somewhat useful in answering that question by talking about how those other ones specifically focus on between domains, and the VC API works in both of those places and could even be integrated with those other systems for between domain domain communication.
Go ahead, Joe.
One of my favorite phrases from William Gibson is that the future is already invented. It's just not evenly distributed. There is a future where this diagram has an exchange service or an exchanger in it. But we haven't done that yet or figured out the edge cases of it. So I think I just want to note that. I don't know, Dave or Manu, if you guys want to comment. I think it would be premature to try and get it into this presentation. but just to socialize amongst us, I do think there is another component that is an exchanger that, at least the issuer and verifier are probably going to deserve in their box. And I'll let that go.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Patrick.
Yeah, there was a term, I think Dave said it a couple of times. I think he referred to it as trust boundaries. Would that be correlating to the different domains? Like different domains are different trust boundaries? And if so, it'd be, it's a good term. I like it.
And
just quickly, yes, Patrick, and I think this helps visualize where those boundaries are. The other point I was going to make is, yes, we don't have exchanges on here yet, and I do think it would be a bit of a rush to try and get it in here now. But if it does come up and there's something to talk about, we can talk about how this diagram, at least partial, the place where exchanges would happen in this diagram now would be where verifiable credentials are being received or presented. So the arrows within the lower arrows in the between domain circle between the holder and verifier and issuer and holder. And so that could at least be answered if that comes up as a question during the presentation.
All right. Back over to you, John.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Thanks again for the comments and feedback. I think that covers this slide. So, next slide is just a brief touch on authorization. I don't personally have much to say, and yeah, maybe it's not worth having such a slide, but, I think my purpose here is to say that authorization is within the scope of VC API and that, OAuth 2 is explicitly mentioned, others are allowed, and there's, an explicit, forbidding of long-lived credentials like username and password and basic HTTP authorization. So that gets us through the design section of the presentation and into a discussion of the endpoints. So the first section is on issuance endpoints. And I've got a few, so I'll just skip ahead. Just kind of shows there's a few sections on the various endpoints. I haven't made these tables exhaustive. They don't have every endpoint, but more to give a sense of some of the key endpoints. Yeah, please, Manu.
I think it's a good thing that you don't have every endpoint on here. I totally agree with the way you're choosing to present it, which is give them an idea of what's in there. It doesn't need to be exhaustive. It's a plus one to the approach you're taking.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, thank you. So talking more about the issuance endpoints, actually maybe to introduce this table. So what I've done here is take the from that one discussion that was maybe, I'm not sure, a couple of months ago, maybe there was an attempt to put the endpoints on the various components and list the expected callers. So I've assumed that information is still relevant, even though it's not in the spec as of yet, I don't think. But I think it does help understand the endpoints. So with focusing on issuance now, so probably the most important endpoint is this issuance of a credential, and I'd like to do a little demo of that, so I will go over to, I think we've got, yeah, we should have time, so I'll run through my demo as planned here. So the first step of that is to use this credentials issue endpoint. I'm running the Energy Lab implementation locally. So, let me go over. I've got a credential. Ready here that I will copy. it's been, so it's a permanent, that's too small. It's a permanent resident card credential and, a point that I want to make about the issue endpoint is that there was a discussion, a little while back now about, reducing the client optionality for the issue endpoint. So, it's not necessary to, at one point was, possible to specify the verification method, but it's not currently possible. And I see that as an example of, simplicity of the simplicity design principle. Yeah, please go ahead.
Just want to know, like, is it forbidden or is it optional? I forgot where the decision was made about this.
So it should be forbidden. It should be based on the configuration of the particular issuer instance you're communicating with.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, so like I said, not specifying it here, and I don't think we can specify it in our implementation. Anyway, yeah, let's go. And we end up with this permanent resident card credential with the proof. Okay. I don't have too much to say about this other status endpoint. Well, folks on the call will know well, but it's to update the status of a credential on the status service or within the issuer domain. And this is also this get credentials within the issuer domain where an issuer coordinator could say list all the credentials that have been issued. At least that's my understanding. So that takes us to verification. And I will flip over to, well, actually, maybe I'll just point out that these two endpoints, this presentation verify and credential verify, both on the verification service and called by the verification coordinator. And I will quickly do a demo of the verification endpoint. So let me copy this credential that was just issued. Put this in, I think I need to put it. Property here. Yeah. Okay. Execute. And, yeah, this might, I'm not sure if this is the right reply, but yeah, if this reply is in the spec, but it's saying that the proof has been checked. Okay, that's it for verification. Nice and short there. And then we get to presentation. So the presentation section I'm going to do in tandem with the exchange section because the presentation is done in response to an exchange. So, but I'll talk about presentation for a bit. So the presentation we're looking at endpoints on the issuer and holder services and coordinators, and here where it's more on the endpoints on the holder service, and the caller is the holder coordinator. So there's an endpoint for deriving credentials, for example, for VBS credentials, for proving a credential, for applying a proof, for proving a presentation, which I'll do a demo of, and then this other endpoint that I've added is for getting a presentation and potentially it could be on the verifier coordinator, and I called it out because it could be useful for asynchronous flows, and that's an example of the composability principle of composing these complex flows from endpoints. And so before I demo that, like I said, let's go over and continue with exchange endpoints. So, the key endpoint here is just posting to this exchange endpoint, which is done by, I'm looking at this. Maybe this is backwards. I think it should be the other way around. Or the holder coordinator would be the caller, and it could be on the issuer or the verifier coordinator. An interesting note is that, you know, potentially this endpoint, oh, sorry, doesn't need authorization. And so I'm going to use some of the design principles here is that the exchanges are extensible via the verifiable presentation request format, so I'll talk about that in a minute, and also composable into multi-step flows. So I mentioned that being one of the focal use cases, and so it's possible using the exchanges endpoint. And I think it's helpful to, before doing the demo, to talk about what the verifiable presentation request is. So it's a, I'd say, related specification to the VC API. At least it's referenced in VC API, where you have, everyone on this call is familiar, so I won't spend too much time. But I think the key point I want to highlight for the Open Wallet Foundation is that this interact, well, really there's extension points, you know, in the query as well, but in the interact, there's an extension point where there's these different interact types. So you can imagine extending into other interaction types beyond VC API exchanges, and also others could be added.
Yeah, I think in the bullet points there, you should probably put OID for VC.
Yeah, good idea. Yes. That's a great point. Thanks for that point. If no other questions, I think I will roll into the more of the demo here. For that, I've got an exchange create. Actually, let me just create a new one. The demo off screen. Before going into the demo, let's do one other slide that I have on that with the example exchange flow. So, and this is essentially what I'm going to be demoing. This figure you'll probably recognize pulled from the spec, where you have a holder coordinator initiate an exchange, and in response there will be a verifiable presentation request, and then a VP will be sent. So yes, that will be the sequence that I will show. So I'll start by initiating the exchange, which I believe is this one here. Yeah, so exchange ID is 3, that's what I've configured. And in response, I have this VP request, this verifiable presentation request. So there's a query which at EnergyWeb we've been using the presentation definition spec to ask for credentials. So it's asking here for a permanent resident card credential, which is the credential I issued earlier. And there's this challenge that I'll use to prove a presentation, and also interaction endpoint. So I will do the next step of proving the presentation here so that I can send it. Let me take the presentation, the credential from issued earlier. That. It should go here. There we go. I think the whole everything else should be the same, except for the, I've already, I'm using the same holder and verification method. So I don't need to change that, but I need to change the challenge. That. here, execute. And great. Yeah. In the response, we have a VP, which we can submit. So the final step of the demo is to go close this one. I have an update, a bit behind in our implementation. We're still using the old put rather than post. Change ID is 3. I'll put the presentation here. And, get the transaction ID from and in response that concludes the demo. In the diagram there was a presentation that contained a credential sent, and here's just a response body. That doesn't have a presentation. Yes, please go ahead. And if there's any feedback on the demo, I mean, probably it could be improved in terms of smoothness.
Patrick, you're on the queue.
Yeah, just regarding Exchange. So this is the first time I see some kind of demonstration of an Exchange, and it's very interesting. I have some questions. So you set the Exchange ID, you set the value of 3. What does the 3 represent? Is it like a type of Exchange that someone can engage with? And then the transaction ID is like the sort of communication channel between two agents?
My understanding is they're opaque, especially to the client. So there's no real meaning. At least I haven't attributed them any meaning to these numbers, these strings.
So I mean, like you put 3, but does that mean that 3 is what I need to engage with if I want to do a presentation exchange, for example?
Yeah. Pass over to the queue. Yeah.
Yep. Alan and then Dave. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. As someone who's not very familiar with this stuff, I found the demo to be just, you know, like a magic act without the excitement. You have to consider that people don't know what most of this stuff is, which is me. Now, if your audience knows more about this, then ignore my comment.
Thanks, Alan. Dave?
I agree a lot with what Alan said. I don't know how much for our benefit you were skipping whatever kind of setup you might provide in before you run the demo and talk about it, but talking about a specific use case and what's going on with that exchange, I think would really help ground it for the people that are watching, even if they're not going to really understand what the technical details are. And to respond to Patrick, the way that we've implemented exchanges is there are exchangers that have IDs that hang off of them that map to specific flows or use cases that you might work through. And when you're on like a website and you want to like pick up a USCIS permanent resident card, the issuer coordinator would create a new exchange off of the exchanger that's for getting a USCIS card. And then they would give you that exchange, it won't be the number 3, but it'll be some random number on the end of the URL. They would hand that to you. And then when you post to that URL, it'll give you a verifiable presentation request for what it is you must hand over in order to get a USCIS card, permanent resident card in response.
And the transaction ID is just something that's linked between that specific exchange between you as a holder and this issuer?
Yeah. And in our implementation, we've actually found we don't need to use the transaction ID, but it could be used to keep track of state. We just keep track of that internally as we walk people through exchanges.
Yeah, you could probably delegate that ID to some field in the body to keep track of which exchange that is.
Or the exchange itself could be stateful. So each time they make a post to the exchange, it keeps track of what step they're on there might only be one step, but if it's a multiple step thing, it could keep track of where they are and return back to them either another presentation request or the actual VP with the VCs in it that they are trying to get.
All right.
All right. thanks again for that feedback. Yeah, I certainly agree. The demo could use some work, and that's some good feedback to try to ground it in a use case. Yeah, please.
I think something, at least for me, and I think it's probably a shared feeling, maybe not with everyone, but something that was interesting to discuss was the whole part about which endpoint can live on which component. And because when I think about an API, usually I'm thinking about, okay, there's one server with these API routes and then it can do all this. But this VC API, if I understand, it's more providing a choice of routes that you can implement on specific service or component to do a goal. And I think this is displayed by the tables you had and when you talk about modularity. But I think it should be more emphasis should be put on that, maybe when you present the tables, to say like to put emphasis on the modularity, meaning it's not like this one server that's going to have all these routes implemented, but it's almost like a pick and choose approach. Does anyone resonate with that? Or?
That resonates a lot with me, and I think it would. I was kind of trying to get at something related to that when we were talking about iconography, around how this API enables you to pick and choose from different service providers because it's modular and broken up in that way. You can you could implement all these pieces on your own and run a whole system yourself, or you might pick and choose from different implementations or different service providers that are giving you the different pieces, and they should all work together. And it's the design enables all of that to happen so that there's interoperability and there can be a bigger ecosystem and more choice in the pieces that you pick and choose from.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point about emphasizing the modularity. I'll think about how that could be emphasized a bit more. I think that's it, presentation-wise. Let's see here. Ah, no, I spoke too soon. Yeah, yes, sorry, go ahead, Patrick.
My last question was about the test suites and implementation.
Oh, yes. Right, so there's just a bit about the test suites. I was thinking maybe it makes sense to go and show. Maybe I won't do it now, but yeah, my plan for the presentation is to just show the table that I'm sure you've all seen in the rendered test suite results. And I've got a point here about focusing on data integrity proofs. BWP is mentioned, I would say. Maybe that's, and then I just a bit about implementation. So I've listed, if anyone wants to highlight their implementation or add an additional implementation or something, yeah, please let me know. But I've provided a link to the Energy Web one. So.
We might want to mention the JFF Plugfest results, specifically. I mean, you have a handful of implementations there, but we had, you know, like, what was it, 17 implementations or 17 different issuers, right? I don't know how many different, like, full-blown implementers there, but there's some, I put the slide deck in the chat channel. You might want to pull some content from that, to demonstrate that, you know, hey, we've already done interoperability testing on this stuff and demonstrated some level of interop, there. And, you know, it's, in any case, like we've got like really good interop story already, on it. That's it.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it would be good to list as many as possible. And with that really does close the presentation. Thanks again for giving me the opportunity to present here.
Great. And thank you, John, again, for putting this together. I think it's great. And, now we actually have a presentation deck to talk about, you know, the stuff that we do here. So that's also very much appreciated. sure, a number of us are going to want to kind of divide and conquer in other groups that we're involved with. Okay, so I think, you know, next steps here, John, are just if you coordinate with OWF to get a date, just let us know what the date is and the date and time for the presentation, and as many of us as can make it will certainly show up and support you. And then maybe during the next call, we could talk about, you know, who wants to take what section. Although, I mean, John, I think you having a unified voice through the whole thing was a good thing. So maybe what we could do is just kind of say some supportive things while you're going through the presentation at OWF. Okay. With that, thanks again, John. We're at time. And so, next week we will pick up, on the, agenda, that we had today, pick back up on issues and, process, those. Link to the agenda is here. I'll put it back in the chat channel, John Kuo.
Just a quick note, a possible shorthand for the modularity is to highlight loose coupling. Basically, that you pick the component that you want to use from the bunch that have implemented this stuff, and they can interchange like Lego blocks for the various roles.
Plus one to that. All right. With that, that's the call. Thank you, everyone, for the input and feedback to John on the deck today. We will pick back up on issue processing next week. Thanks again. Have a good one. Bye.